everyone. This is Jay with the Magnify Him Together podcasts. This is episode number 84. Today's title is Immortality, Part 5, the fifth and final podcast in our series on what the kingdom will be like. Well, I got to give you a little bonus passage here. No, two bonus passages. Yes, two bonus passages. And this is going to go back into our acronym, into Mighty Powers, because I was hoping to cover these, but I just didn't get to it in that time. So I got to give these to you. Funny story. I was giving a series of classes to an audience of brothers and sisters and also young people. It was kind of an interactive setting. And we were talking about this very topic, immortality. And I remember asking for anyone to share what it is that they look forward to in the kingdom. What would you do with immortal power? It's really powerful to think about that. Not that everything that we dream that we're going to do, we will do in the kingdom. But it's good to think about those kinds of things. And there was a young man, he was a boy. He was 8, 9, 10, around there. I said, what do you wish you could do in the kingdom? What's like any superpower you wish you could have? And he called out, super fast running power. I was like, wow, didn't see that one coming. That's a great suggestion, though. But when you think about it, super fast running power is actually an example of spirit power that we have in Scripture. So this would go under the M, the second M for mighty powers. And this is in 1 Kings chapter 18. You could actually put it under a couple of different letters here, as you could many of these verses. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, we read all about how Elijah was trying to turn the hearts of the people back to the faith of their fathers. That's what he was trying to do on Mount Carmel, the contest between Baal and Yahweh. And the God who would answer by fire would be the God. And it was Yahweh who answered by fire. And at the very end of 1 Kings chapter 18, it appears that Ahab had been converted and the rain is about to come. And it says in verse 45 that it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Now listen to this. And it says that the hand of the Lord, the hand of Yahweh, was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab. That means he ran in front of him to the entrance of Jezreel. Now listen to this. You had Elijah running as they're trying to beat the rain, running ahead of him with the hand of the Lord upon him. He was getting, just as the apostles did in other ways, a taste of the powers of the age to come, Holy Spirit power, to be able to run before the king's chariots and the king's horses. Super fast running power. Now, this wasn't just super fast running power to be enjoyed for the sake of enjoying, but this was part of the work of teaching a nation about God. And maybe we will have those, an opportunity like this, to be able to lead reformations in different societies around the world back to God. It's an example that's put here for a reason for us. And we know very well that Elijah, when he returns again, is going to have a very special work to do to finish the work that he began, which he was unable to do, in the conversion of the nation of Israel and the bringing again of the tribes that were scattered abroad. Well, we've got a few more minutes, and I want to give you one other passage here. This is in Exodus chapter 14. This is a super interesting one too, Exodus 14. It's a great one. It says in verse 24, this is the night of the Exodus, and it says that it came to pass in verse 24 that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire under the cloud. And we know that to be the angel. And he troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And so this is actually an instance where the angel caused the wheels of the chariots to come off. So they got stuck in the mire, in that soft ground, as they were trying to chase the children of Israel and bring them back into bondage. And so in the future, when there will be nations who will come against the people of God, this is an example of how it is that angels deal with these issues when they arise. Incredible stuff. Well, we're going to have to go rapid fire for the last little bit here. And what we'll do is have a look at the letter A, which stands for always learning. And so in the kingdom, we will be always learning. We're not going to know everything all at once. That's not how it works. There are things that are hidden from the eyes of the angels. A good example of that is in Mark chapter 13 at verse 32. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. It says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son knew it at that time, but only the Father. And so there were certain secrets that were hidden from the angels, and we will continually be learning more and more about God in the age to come. We'll always be learning. Another good passage to put next to that as well is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. Beautiful passage, that one, which talks about how it was that the angels were interested to look in to the times and seasons that had to do with the revealing and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first century. They were learning. They were looking into these things. Well, in the kingdom, there will also be something that I'm sure we all are looking forward to, which is being reunited with our loved ones who have fallen asleep in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just beautiful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's a chapter that instructs us to have hope for the future. And it says in verse 16 that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We're going to focus on that expression. The dead in Christ rising first. And it's all going to end at the end of verse 17. So shall we ever be with the Lord and with those who we are gathered together with. We are to comfort one another with these words, it says. Verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You'll see them again, he says. That's something that we're supposed to hope about. And you know what's so interesting about this passage? It doesn't say that the dead in Christ rise at the same time that we are taken away. It says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Did you know that those who have fallen asleep will be the first ones to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the earth? Isn't that wonderful? They'll be among the first ones to know. And although we can't be sure about this next point, we have good reason to believe that it's true. There are passages that talk about how it will be that the angels will gather us for judgment. But I don't think that they'll be alone. many brothers and sisters don't think that they're going to be alone either. I've talked with a number of brothers and sisters about this, and there's an interesting passage in Matthew chapter 27 that I'd like to read for you. And it says that when the veil was rent, this is at the crucifixion, in verse 51, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. So there's a great earthquake. Matthew 27, verse 51, at the crucifixion. And it says in verse 52, and the graves were opened too at this earthquake. And many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, why would that be written for us, if not to give us a pattern about what will be in the future? Because this passage is telling us that when the Lord Jesus Christ was alive in the earth again, there were others who went to appear to other believers who they had once known in their lives. Why else could it be that the dead in Christ rise first, unless it was that they had a similar job to do with the angels who came to gather their faithful? It's a very sobering thing to think about. But if you saw someone who's fallen asleep in your family after they had been dead for some time, you would know in a heartbeat what that meant, and that the Lord was in the earth again, and that the kingdom is about to be established. So that brings us to our next letter, which is the I in immortality, the second I, which stands for inexpressible joy. We could almost put any of these verses next to that letter, inexpressible joy. Maybe we think of those loved ones who have fallen asleep, and that brings us inexpressible joy to think about what that's going to be like. Well, what about this passage that we know so well? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What an absolutely beautiful passage that is. There's a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory coming before us. And the more we understand about immortality, the clearer our hopes become for it. But we won't get there without having our lives tested. And that's what the next letter is all about, the T. The second T, tested lives. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, and it says that we have a trial of our faith in verse 7, and it's much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So our faith is going to be tried. The fire's going to be hot sometimes, and it's going to feel sometimes like we can't go on, but we can go on, and we can get through, and we can overcome, not because we are strong, but because our God can bring us the rest of the way. And he wants to do that for us. And if we want to be in the kingdom of God more than anything else in the world, to see his will done in the earth and in the lives of all those who we love, We will be there. And that's the ultimate purpose, that Yahweh's name might be glorified. That's what it all comes back to. The glorification of the name of God. Magnifying the name of God, as the name of this podcast is. Magnify him together. His name is being magnified now in our families, in our ecclesias, in our individual selves, and it will be magnified and hallowed and glorified in the age to come. But the beautiful thing about the hope of immortality that he's given us is that we are going to be the ones who will be glorifying the name of God in all the earth. It's going to be an extension in the kingdom of the work that we've been doing now in our ecclesias and our families as best we can, waiting for the return of Christ, when he will give the faithful and invest them, transform them, change them into immortal beings to be able to do all the work that we cannot do now in our mortality, so that all the earth will be filled with the glory of God, full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea.